Today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, entitled The Cosmic Manifestation, Chapter 10, entitled Bhagavatam is the Answer to All Questions, Text Number 10. Purushondam vinirbhidya yada sausa vinirgatah Atmanoyanam anvichan Aposrakshich chuchihi shuchih Yada, when Asau, the same Saha, he, the Lord Vinirgataha, came out Atmanah, of himself, ayanam, lying in place, anvichan, desiring, apaha, water, asakshrit, created, shuchihi, the most pure, shuchih, transcendental. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Translation. After separating the different universes, the gigantic universal form of the Lord, Mahavishnu, which came out of the causal ocean, the place of appearance of the first Purusha avatar, entered into each of the separate universes, desiring to lie on the created transcendental water, Garbhodak. Purport. After analysis of the living entities and the Supreme Lord, Paramatma, the independent source of all other living beings, Srila Shukadev Goswami is now presenting the prime necessity for devotional service to the Lord, which is the only occupational business of all living entities. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna and His plenary portions and extensions of plenary portions are non-different from one another, and thus the supreme independence is in each and every one of them. In order to prove this, Shukadev Goswami, as promised to King Parikshit, describes herein the independence of the Purusha avatar personality of Godhead, even in the sphere of the material creation. Such activities of the Lord are also transcendental, and therefore they are also leela, or pastimes, of the Absolute Lord. Such pastimes of the Lord are very conducive to the hearers of self-realization in the field of devotional service. Some may argue, why not then relish the transcendental leela of the Lord as exhibited in the land of Mathura and Vrindavan, which are sweeter than anything in the world? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur replies that the pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan are meant to be relished by advanced devotees of the Lord. Neophyte devotees will misunderstand such supreme transcendental activities of the Lord, and therefore the Lord's pastimes in the material sphere related to creation, maintenance and destruction are verily relishable by the prakrit or mundane devotees of the Lord. As the yoga system, mainly based on bodily exercises, is meant for the person who is too much attached to the bodily conception of existence, similarly, the Lord's pastimes related to the creation and destruction of the material world are for those who are too materially attached. For such mundane creatures, the functions of the body and the functions of the cosmic world through physical laws in relationship with the Lord are also therefore included in understanding of the lawmaker, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The scientists explain the material functions by so many technological terms of material law. But such blind scientists forget the lawmaker. The Srimad Bhagavatam points out the lawmaker. One should not be amazed by the mechanical arrangement of the complicated engine or dynamo, but one should praise the engineer who creates such a wonderful working machine. That is the difference between the devotee and the non-devotee. Devotees are always full with praising the Lord who directs the physical laws. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.10, the direction of the Lord upon the material nature is described as follows. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena konteya jagat viparivartate. The material nature, full of physical laws, is one of my different energies. Therefore, it is neither independent nor blind. Because I am transcendentally all-powerful, simply by my glancing over material nature, the physical laws of nature work so wonderfully. The actions and reactions of the physical laws work on that account. And thus, the material world is created, maintained, and annihilated again and again. Men with a poor fund of knowledge, however, become astonished by studying the physical laws both within the construction of the individual body and within the cosmic manifestation, and foolishly they decry the existence of God, taking it for granted that the physical laws are independent, without any metaphysical control. The Bhagavad Gita 9.11 replies to this foolishness is in the following words. Avjananti mamuda manushim tanumashritam param bhavam ajananto mamabhuta maheshwaram. The foolish men, muda, do not know the personality of Godhead in his eternal form of bliss and knowledge. The foolish man thinks of the transcendental body of the Lord as something like his own, and therefore he cannot think of the unlimited controlling power of the Lord, who is not visible in the acting of the physical laws. The Lord is, however, visible to the naked eye of people in general when he descends himself by his own personal potency. Lord Krishna incarnated himself as he is and played very wonderful parts as the Lord himself. And the Bhagavad Gita concerns such wonderful actions and knowledge. Yet foolish men will not accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Generally, they consider the infinitesimal and infinite features of the Lord, because they themselves are unable to become either the infinitesimal or the infinite. But one should know that the infinite and infinitesimal sizes of the Lord are not his highest glories. The most wonderful manifestation of the Lord's power is exhibited when the infinite Lord becomes visible to our eyes as one of us. Yet, his activities are different from those of the finite beings. Lifting a mountain at the age of 7 years and marrying 16,000 wives in the prime of his youth are some of the examples of his infinite energy. But the mudas, after seeing them or hearing about them, decry them as legendary and take the Lord as one of them. They cannot understand that the Lord, Sri Krishna, although in the form of a human being by his own potency, is still the Supreme Lord with full potency as the Supreme Controller. When, however, the mudas give submissive and oral reception to the messages of the Lord, and in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam, through the channel of disciplic succession, such mudas also become devotees of the Lord by the grace of his pure devotees. And for this reason only, either in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastimes of the Lord in the material world are delineated for the benefit of those men with a poor fund of knowledge. So we are discussing the pastimes of Lord in the matter of creation, especially creation in second and third cantos. So as described by Prabhupada, that all the pastimes of Lord are on the same level, in the sense that anything related to Lord is absolute. So one particular devotee may be attracted to a particular pastime, but any pastime as described in Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam is on the same level. So one should relish and try to understand each aspect related to Krishna. In the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Chaitanya Leela, we see that how Advaita Acharya, he made a prayer to Lord. He used to cry for the appearance of Lord himself. So Krishna appears in this material world by his own sweet will. And similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, he also appears by his own sweet will. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita we have, in Adi Leela we see external and internal or confidential reasons for appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he let his devotees appear who would perform pastimes as elders of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So before Mahaprabhu appeared, these devotees like Madhavendra Puri, Ishwar Puri, Shachi Mata, Jagannath Mishra, Advaita Acharya, all these devotees appeared first. So Advaita Acharya, he observed the condition of society and he saw everyone is engaged in materialistic activities, either sinful or pious. Some were doing pious activities, you know, religious activities, and some were doing sinful activities. But he saw almost no one was performing bhakti, which would help them to get out of this samsara chakra, the cycle of birth and death. So he felt compassion for all human beings and other living entities, and he thought that how can I help them. So he thought there is only one way. If Lord himself descends, then only these people would get mercy. So on the strength of a verse from one of the scriptures, he started worshipping his Shaligram Shila with Ganges water and Tulsi leaves, Tulsi manjaris. And he used to make loud cries for Lord to appear. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So only the love of a devotee can force Lord to appear. And that's part of his sweet will. So he made these devotees appear. And then he appeared after that. So that shows that how Lord is the supreme controller. So in today's verse and previous verses, we saw that it's mentioned that how Lord is independent and we all are dependent. So we have minute independence. We can choose either to serve the Lord or not to serve. And if we serve Lord as per his instructions, then we can get the benefit. So here we see in today's purport that how it's mentioned that Lord is infinite and infinitesimal as well. So he's smaller than the smallest and he's bigger than the biggest. And two expansions, two Purusha avatars are mentioned in today's verse. Mahavishnu or Karana Dakshai Vishnu and Garbho Dakshai Vishnu. So Lord is bigger than the biggest in his manifestation as Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu appears from the causal ocean and he's massive. From his bodily pores, universes are coming out. So just imagine how big this expansion of Lord is. And Lord then enters in each universe as Garbho Dakshai Vishnu. And then further, he enters into each atom and within the heart of each living entity as Kshirodakshai Vishnu. So atom is so small and Lord enters within the atom. So in that form, Lord is infinitesimal, smaller than the smallest. So as living entities, we share so many things with Lord. So we also have this desire to imitate the Lord. So the yogis, they try to aspire and achieve these siddhis by which they can become smaller than the smallest and bigger than the biggest. So there were, Prabhupada mentions in Nectar of Devotion that there was a German scholar who went to India to search for real bhakti towards Lord. He said that these siddhis are of no use. The scientists have already achieved these siddhis. So the siddhi, anima, by which a yogi can become smaller than the smallest and then he can enter into a stone. So that German scholar said the scientists have already achieved it. Like they are making tunnels through the mountains. So that's like they have entered the stones by their scientific advancement. So the mystical achievement and the mechanical achievement of scientists are same. So there is no use of it. There is not much use. You still remain in this material world and then you are just pushed. You go up and you go down within this material world. But the purpose of bhakti is to get us out of this material world, or in one sense, out of material consciousness. So that's why Advaita Acharya, he cried for Lord to appear and spread this bhakti by the means of chanting the holy name. And in this age, especially in Kali Yuga, it's not possible to understand the pastimes of Radha Krishna without going through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So time and again we see, and today's purport as well, that how it is so important for all of us, especially the neophyte devotees, to understand the pastimes related to creation. So there is a tendency in all of us, to some degree or the other, to jump over to the intimate pastimes of Lord. So this, there was an incident which took place in around 1976 in Los Angeles. Around 40 devotees, they formed a club called the Gopi Bhav Club. So they used to discuss the intimate pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, while the other lower devotees would do other services like Sankirtan or Prasad distribution or other temple services. So every day they would meet and they would discuss these deep pastimes. So then some devotees didn't like that, who understood Prabhupada's mood. So they brought this issue to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was very angry. And then the leader, he spoke to Prabhupada that what is wrong? Isn't that the goal of bhakti, to understand pastimes of Krishna? So Prabhupada was very angry and he said, first you should deserve, then desire. So because we are not that elevated, we cannot relish these higher pastimes. So the point is not to reject those pastimes, because Prabhupada himself gave Krishna book, which has got all the pastimes mentioned in 10th canto. So the point is that we should not jump to those pastimes, but in a nice way, in a nice procedure, we should eventually reach there. So as mentioned in this 10th chapter of 2nd canto, the first verse started as, it describes the 10 subject matters. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam utaya. So these 10 subject matters are presented in each canto. And the final subject matter, ashraya, is especially presented in 10th canto. So other 9 subject matters, which are elaborately described in the first 9 cantos, they prepare us. So if one is reading Srimad Bhagavatam nicely after finishing Bhagavad Gita, so then by the time we reach 10th canto, we are ready for it. So Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, the first 9 cantos, they are not low subject matters, or they are not the subject matters which we shouldn't read or relish. So Prabhupada said in one of the lectures that this is Sahajiya mentality. So he pointed out that because we are materially contaminated, that's why we want to jump to Krishna's intimate pastimes. Because we think, I want to materially enjoy sense gratification, and Krishna also, his pastimes, it seems that he is enjoying. So I just follow his footsteps. But there, hey, Prabhupada writes, it's not possible. He lifts up the Govardhan hill. We cannot imitate that. He marries 16,000 wives. We cannot imitate that. He does these things without any effort, effortlessly. It is described that how when Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill, it was just like a child lifts up a mushroom. There's no effort in it. So we cannot imitate Krishna. So every one of us as practicing devotees, we have this tendency to jump to the intimate pastimes. But Prabhupada cautions us that if you jump, rather being purified, you will get even more degraded. So this is very important to understand. So material contamination is there, and Arjun in Bhagavad Gita, he asked this question to Krishna, that how am I being pulled to do sinful activities? So in the last part of third chapter in Bhagavad Gita, Arjun asked these questions to Krishna. Atken prayuktayam papam charati purusha anichchan api vashneya baladiva niyojita. That what is it that is pulling me to do these sinful activities? So then Krishna replies that kama esha krodesha rajogun samudbhava mahashano mahapapma vidyayenam iha vairinam. That this is lust only, which is born of mode of passion. So these two modes of ignorance and passion, they pull us down and they cover us up. And recently I think Aniruddha Prabhu, he was saying that it's always advertised, they say, drink responsibly and gamble responsibly. That means that in a controlled way, right? And last year I went to India, one of my very close relatives, he also asked me a question. What is wrong in, just drinking little bit? What is wrong in a controlled way? So the point is made here by Arjun that actually control comes in mode of goodness, not in passion and ignorance. So you are self-controlled in the mode of goodness, because you get knowledge in that mode. In mode of passion, you'll be driven here and there. So if someone drinks little bit or, you know, gambles little bit, then at one point you'll be just forced to do more. And then you would think, oh, what happened here? You know, what went wrong? So that's why Krishna is cautioning Arjuna that he says, Tasmat Tvam Indriyanyadav, that in the beginning, Adav, in the beginning you curb this enemy, lust, which is born out of passion. Don't wait. You don't have to wait. In the beginning you curb it. It's not that you just let your senses loose and maybe by good luck one day, you know, we'll achieve perfection of life. It doesn't happen like that. Human beings have been given this higher consciousness and they have this responsibility to stop this lust. Because this lust can never be satisfied. And it covers us to various degrees. So one cannot say, you know, he lets his senses loose, he does so many mistakes and sinful activities, and then at the end of life, somehow, you know, Yamdutas take him to Yamraj. So he cannot say, oh, hi, Yamraj, how are you? You know, I'm a good boy. Just I had few weak moments and I, you know, made few mistakes, did few sins, so I'm sorry. And Yamraj wouldn't say, yeah, that's okay, you know. You can go to heavenly planets or spiritual world, wherever you like. It's not like that. It doesn't work like that. So we have to take responsibility. And it is said, even if you are trying to control the senses, then also it would be very difficult. So then what to speak of those who are not even trying? So their senses will be just going here and there. So we were studying in Bhakti Vaibhav, Gangeshwar Prabhu was explaining us that all living entities have got all the senses. But in lower living entities, one of the senses is very powerful. Like in fish, the tongue is very powerful. And in elephant, maybe the sense of touch. In bees, the sense, you know, their eyes. And in the deer, the ears, the sense of hearing. So these senses are very powerful. And then they get entrapped and they get killed due to those weaknesses of those senses. But in human beings, all the senses have a propensity to, you know, you can catch human being through any one of the senses. So that's why in Bhagavad Gita it is said, you shouldn't leave even one sense to just roam without a purpose. So that's why we have this process of bhakti, in which all our senses can be engaged in Krishna's service. We have hearing, chanting, and for the, you know, we touch the beads, we touch the bodies of devotees, we smell the flowers. So like that, all our senses become harmless because they are engaged in Krishna's service. At least in two places in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada gives the example of a serpent. So these senses are compared to venomous serpents. But if you engage them in service of Krishna, the senses become like serpents without poisonous teeth or poisonous fangs. Then they won't act, although they are there, senses are there, but they won't act harmfully for us. So in the last part of today's purport, we see, by submissive and oral reception to the messages of the Lord, as in Srimad Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, we can get perfection. So there's these two words very close, as we say, hearing and chanting. These are the processes. We, you know, Shravanam, Kirtanam. So the word here is oral. Oral, A-U-R-A-L, is from the ear, and oral, from the mouth. Very close, so makes sense to do both, you know, oral and oral. So when we perform these simple processes of bhakti, we can see the change. So many people say that, you know, yesterday you were doing all these sinful activities and today you think you are a devotee and tomorrow you think you will become Paramahamsa, purified. Just stop doing, making this show, you know. Better just be humble and engage your senses as they are directing you. So we don't agree to that proposal. Because from Shastra we understand that if we follow these instructions of Krishna and we just hear and chant topics related to Krishna, then we'll be purified within this life. We don't have to wait to get next body. So example is given of a caterpillar. A caterpillar, within one life, he changes his body completely. He becomes butterfly. It's a totally different nature. Caterpillar, you know, hardly can crawl fast. And the butterfly just flies here and there very fast. In scientific terms, it's called metamorphosis. So the change of the body. Another example is of a tadpole. Is a young frog. It's an aquatic animal or a reptile. And when it turns into frog, you know, frog can go on land here and there. So total change in the body. So same way, if XYZ bhakta, who has done all sinful activities, he performs bhakti, then he becomes Paramahamsa. Within this life, you don't have to change the body. So all these topics described in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are for us. So we should embrace them as much as possible. So Prabhupada said that Sahajiyas, they don't read Bhagavad Gita. Because they only read the intimate pastimes of Krishna in 10th canto, especially those 5 chapters. Describing rasa dance. But for us, everything is in relation to Krishna. Nirbande Krishna sambande. That everything related to Krishna is as good as Krishna himself. In one lecture, Prabhupada said this, that many devotees think, what is the use of reading all these names given in like first chapter of Bhagavad Gita? You know, Krishna... Krishna speaks first verse in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita 2.2, and in Bhagavatam also he appears first time in 7th chapter of first canto. In 27th verse he speaks the first verse. So what about the other verses which are spoken by other devotees? You know, Should we read them or should we just read direct words of Krishna? No, everything is related to Krishna. In 9th canto, we see how Shukdev Goswami describes all the kings. He describes all the kings of Sun dynasty. And then he said, now I'll describe the kings of Moon dynasty. And then we see how beautifully Krishna appears in that dynasty, Yadu dynasty, later on. So everything is related to Krishna. So all the warriors who are listed in first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, they are also related to Krishna. Because Krishna was present on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And everyone achieved liberation. So we have to think it that way. So if we just keep on taking this opportunity, then we can see how we are benefiting. By some mercy, some sukriti, we are here now. Doesn't matter how we have come here, but what matters is how we take this process. So there's an example that most people use phones these days, smartphones. So smartphone has got a software. It can detect many things. And same way, we have this body, we have software. The 3 subtle elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. So when we go somewhere, we see that in the phone you can see it detects the presence of wireless networks. So the software is made in a way. So we may be there. Our software cannot detect that, you know, if is there any wireless network present here. But that smartphone has, because it's designed in a way, it detects it. So same way, Krishna is present everywhere, but we cannot detect his presence. But a pure devotee, because he has love for Krishna, he can see Krishna everywhere, all pervading. He can see Krishna in the pillar, in the deities, anything, in the microphone, in the table. Because he has this special love for Krishna. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Hrideshu Vilokyanti. So he is seeing Krishna everywhere. So by serving a pure devotee of Krishna, we can get that love also. So we can get something from someone who has got it. So a pure devotee of Krishna has got love for Krishna. And if we serve him, we can also get that love. So due to our past fortune, we have somehow got this great fruit of bhakti. So just by cultivation, we can go further. Recently, I was discussing with my mother. She was asking how, she's also a devotee now, and she was asking how I became a devotee and a brahmachari. So I reminded her that we don't know how, but we have to take benefit of it. Doesn't matter what happened in the past, but I just reminded, you know, of an incident that she told me one time. I said maybe that was the reason. So what happened when I was in the womb of my mother? So my parents with another family went to visit Dwarka. So there they went in a boat in the ocean, and it was very turbulent, so boat was rocking. And although that time my mother wasn't a devotee, but somehow in some emotion she was just chanting Krishna, Krishna, because it was a very dangerous situation. So I said, because you chanted Krishna's name in Namabhas, so that's why maybe I heard it and I became devotee. So, you know, as devotees, we learn that we should give credit to others. I didn't say, yeah, because I'm very great, that's why I'm here. So I gave all the credit to her. It's all your credit. Because of you, I became a devotee and brahmachari. So thank you very much. So but the point is that it doesn't matter. Maybe that was the reason or maybe something else. But we have to see where we go from here now. It doesn't matter where you start. It matters where you finish. So we have to finish at the lotus feet of Krishna somehow or other. So it doesn't matter what we had been doing in past. If we take the opportunity now, for example, doesn't matter what I was speaking for last 45 minutes, maybe with a wrong mentality. But now this next moment is mine. I have got my independence, my minute independence. I can make use of it. Same way with the audience. Maybe we were sleeping for last 45 minutes, but now we can hear that one instruction and maybe take benefit. So it doesn't matter what happened in the past. So we should take benefit now. So that's why these topics are there of Srishti Leela and these different Leelas. Time is short. I wanted to read a couple of verses. I'll just read one verse. It's a prayer to Advaita Acharya, that Advaita Acharya is actually Mahavishnu. So this prayer is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we'll finish with that. So it's in Adi Leela. Mahavishnur Jagatkarta Mayaya Yaha Sijatyadaha Tasyavatara Evayam Advaita Acharya Ishwaraha. Lord Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnus, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. And we should all take shelter of Advaita Acharya and Panchatattva to understand these deep subject matters. So I would like to end there and see if I have one or two questions. or comments by senior Vaishnavas who are present here. Yes, Prabhu. So, as Prabhupada has told us that this Sahajiya mentality is in all of us because we want very fast results. So, we have been very cheap previously. So, we want things very cheaply and in very quick way, quick fashion. So that's why Sahajiya mentality is like we want to enter the top part of Krishna's pastimes very quickly without purification. So that's why they start acting and behaving as if they are elevated, but actually they are materially contaminated. So that's Sahajiya in brief. And what was the other part? Destination, it is said in, like, for example, if someone is in Vrindavan and they are performing all sinful activities, they, you know, sense gratification, then they get a body of either a hog or a dog or a monkey. And it is because they are in Dham, this is the potency of Dham, then in next life they go back to Godhead, if I'm not wrong. Prana Prabhu, will that be right to say that those animals? But if you happen to be in any other part of the world, maybe you go to some part of the hell. So, destination depends. Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada writes, even, yeah, that's missing, that's only partial there. Even if you see that how he's smaller than the smallest, that's also is a part of his glory, that, you know, how great he is, he has entered into the atom. But Prabhupada writes, even both these features are not his highest exhibition of, not the exhibition of his highest glory. Exhibition of his highest glory is that he comes as one of us, as human beings, as Krishna, two-armed form, and he performs such wonderful pastimes. So that's the highest glory. Okay, I think it's time now. So thank you very much. We'll end here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.